With me to 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe. 2 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. Your Bible's over there, Dust. You're sitting right here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just to build a foundation for where we're going today. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 8, the Word of God says this, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." And the darkness I want to talk about a little bit this morning is, darkness is referring to moral blindness. Moral blindness. When you walk in the dark with moral blindness, you have a tendency to stumble. You have a tendency to fall. But if we're to walk in the light, as he is in the light, it calls for us to be humble. Amen. And he wants us not only to be humble, but he wants us to be humble and not to grumble. Listen. To be humble and not grumble. The text today that I want to build this message off of today is in 2 Peter 1, beginning to read with verse number 16. He says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." Now, don't misunderstand that. It isn't that it can't be received privately, but that was written by the inspiration of God. Amen. It didn't come from Peter. It came from God who was speaking through Peter. Because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. "For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Amen. So the title of this morning's message is a personal question to everyone individually in the room. Can you take heed? Now, to take heed means to pay careful attention. To pay careful attention. We're going to look at the wisdom, the word, and the witness. Okay? Can we lift our word together today and make a declaration together so we can all come in the unity of faith? Amen? Repeat after me and say, "I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God says I am. I can have Everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Father, I'm so grateful, Father God, for your word. And I'm grateful, Father God, that you sent it to this house this day to accomplish something in each and every heart and each and every life of everyone gathered in this room and to those that are going to hear it through the website. So, Father, I say and ask right now, Lord Jesus, speak to this vessel. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring glory to you. May they bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. And when everything is said and done, all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise will be unto you. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the first thing I want to speak to you about this morning in our text, he said, he spoke to us in his word in verse number 19. He said, where do you take heed? You do well to take heed, to pay careful attention. So first thing I want to look at is the wisdom. And if anybody knows me, they know one of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 4:7, where Solomon says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Amen? In other words, the devil can't steal from us what we understand. So first he wants us to give us Holy Ghost wisdom. We're looking at the wisdom here. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 or just write it down. I'm going to be through the word. We're going to be speaking the word of God. So you can take note and you can refer to it later. Verse number 10, the Apostle Paul says this, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed or pay careful attention how he builds thereon. Now, one of the things the Apostle Paul and that God wants you and I to understand, that this is the architect's drawing, is the word of God. Amen. And, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with building, but if you have drawings and you start cutting corners, something don't work. Okay. In other words, it was designed to follow the instructions, basic instructions before leaving earth. And the same is if you were a builder with an architect drawing, you follow the dimensions, you follow the drawing, and he has given us the drawing. Paul is just a messenger of the message from God. Here's one of the things that the Lord was speaking to my heart about, and he wants to say to us. The Apostle Paul had visited the church of Corinth. Now he's writing a letter back to the church of Corinth, okay? He's writing a letter, and he's bringing some things. He's bringing doctrine. Amen? He's bringing reproof. He's bringing correction. He's bringing instruction and righteousness. He's bringing those things in his letter. And what I was thinking about corporately, as this letter is written to us as the body of Christ, God has a plan. So many times we have a tendency to want to do it as the world does it, because as the world does it may be easier than what the way God says to do it. Amen. But the problem is it becomes a weak foundation, and when it gets up here, it'll start crashing. Okay? God really cares about the foundation that we build anything on. And one of the things the Lord was speaking to my heart about, it was kind of interesting, just as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, I wonder what the Apostle Paul would write to the ministry of Greatest Freedom Ministries. what would he have to report? What correction would he make? What reproof would he bring? What doctrine would he make? Say, hey, you're out of doctrine here. You know, what instructions would he give us? Amen? When I was looking at that, as we're looking at the corporate level, look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing to the body of Christ corporately. Okay? And we're looking at the corporate structure here, or the body, all of us. Look to your neighbor and say, that includes you. Amen? No one's excluded. And whether you go to this church or another church, you're still part of the body of Christ, so it's written to everyone. Hallelujah. And the Apostle Paul says in verse number 12 of 1 Corinthians 10, he says this, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed or pay careful attention, lest he fall. Then he says, there have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Again, he is speaking on a corporate level. Amen? And one of the things the Lord was saying to me is a desire to grow. Everybody wants to grow and become larger, okay? We want to expand the kingdom of God. Some of the things that we tend to want to do to expand is we want to cut some corners. All of a sudden, things don't matter anymore, all right? Amen? But God cares. God has established a foundation. Amen? And we're going to build upon his foundation. Amen? And when I'm bringing forth the word every week, if you don't like what I say, take it up with the I'm just a messenger. Take it up with the giver of the message. Hello? Amen? How many know that God knew who would be here today, and he knew exactly what you needed to hear? Hello? He didn't always say that it would feel good. Now, when we look at that, look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, here's the Apostle Paul speaking individually. Now, we're not looking at the corporate level, we're looking at it individually. He's writing to his student, Timothy. How many students of the gospel do we have in the room now? Let me see your hand. Oh, you're not a student? You're not a student? Raise your hand then. Thank you. Amen. So he says in verse number 15 to a student, we're looking at taking heed, paying careful attention. He said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen? I've said it before. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Error never freed anyone. Amen? Look to your neighbor and say, praise God, we're free. Now, when I have the wisdom here, the wisdom is the word. Amen? So we're looking at the word. If you look with me in Psalms chapter 19, Psalms 19. The psalmist writes in verse number 8. He says, the statutes of the Lord are perfect. Wait, excuse me. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is the servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Amen? The psalmist says in Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay? What we were talking about, we were talking the wisdom to do what? Not to stumble in the darkness. Amen? And the word is light. And one of the things the Lord wants to get into our hearts today, it lights us from the inside. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, he says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. What was the word given for? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen? That we may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So as he's talking to us, he is saying, hey, the wisdom is allow the light of the word to permeate inside of you and I. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. He says this. He says, and that knowing the time, that now is, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we find that, hey, can we pay careful attention to the wisdom of the word and allow it to be a witness in and through each and every one of us? And Psalms 18, and we're looking at the witness. And Psalms 18, verse 27. The psalmist writes this. He said, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. You know, the word of God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. But he also says pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Amen. He says in verse 28, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Amen. Remember, we're talking about moral blindness. Amen. That we're not going to allow it to cause us to stumble. And we're going to help by the Holy, we're going to stay humble so that we don't grumble. Hello? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I love the Lord because it's His word. You know, every time it's like this week, it's kind of funny. As I'm back to full running and everything this week, and I had some thick saliva. My saliva was thick, and I was saying, "Well, Lord, what is this?" And I was complaining, and He's been talking to me about drinking water, And so I started drinking 2 bottles a day a while back. And I guess it wasn't enough. So he doubled it up. I tried to deal and negotiate with 3. But the 3 didn't work, and I'm on 4. Amen? Amen? In other words, when God gives us instructions, if we follow the instructions, amen, there's blessings. Amen? There's blessings. The Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're talking about the witness now. In verse number 6, he said, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." He doesn't stop there. He said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies." Amen. I don't know about you, but Jesus didn't have any sickness or any disease. He took our sicknesses and our diseases on the cross of Calvary. Amen. So when I looked at that, the Lord took me to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 17. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, it shall quicken our mortal bodies. Our mortal bodies is our living bodies by the spirit that lives in us. The quickening is making alive. It was kind of interesting that when I had that muscle spasms last Sunday, when I was praying for others, the Lord healed me. Amen. Because he says, "Give, and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." In other words, you and I can't outgive God. God's called you and anointed you for a time such as now. The devil wants to steal everything that God has for you. He does not want you to have one thing that God paid the price for you to have. But you and I have to make a decision. It's our choice. No one can make it for us. Amen? That we use the wisdom. The wisdom is taking heed, careful attention to the word. As we take careful attention to the word, it will become the witness in us and through us to others. He says that we present our bodies unto him, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our good and reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And the only way my mind's going to be renewed is if I get into the Word of God. This is what renews you. This is the renewal plan. This is the renovation plan. An architect looked at your house and saw your house was a mess. There were things that were decaying. There were things that were falling apart. And he sent plans to renovate your house. And when he does this renovation, your house will be stronger than it ever was before. Amen? I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool. So in closing today, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3, what we're talking about? Taking heed, paying careful attention. The question, how shall we escape, in verse 3, if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed of us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. You see, we have the wisdom. We have the word. We have the witness. But the last and the most important thing is the will. The question that God would pose before each and every one of us today is, he is willing. Are you? See, the Lord speaks corporately, and he speaks individually, and he's speaking to each and every one of us today. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Word of God says this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises like some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God says he changed his, he paid the price, but it's up to you and I to receive it. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. First and foremost, have you answered that yet? That's where it all begins. You need a foundation to start before you can start building. And that's what he poses before you and I today. The wisdom of the word is to be a witness to reach our will. As the psalmist said, not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, I thank you, Father God, for your word. I thank you that you sent your word to accomplish something today in this house today. Right now, I bind this spirit of slumber. There's a spirit of slumber that's trying to come in. I bind that spirit and I cast that spirit out in Jesus' name. We're alive and we're energetic in Jesus' name. He says, behold, I stand at your heart's door and I knock. Are you listening? Will you open the door and will you let me in? Maybe you're here today and you haven't invited him in yet, but you feel him tugging on your heart. Would you say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. Is there anyone at all? Just a moment. Father, I thank you, Father God, that you're the searcher of all hearts. You know where each and every one of us are. But your word also declares in 3 John verse number 2. Your word says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. Father, our soul is prospering by your word. But Father, we also desire for our health to prosper. And today, if you're here and maybe you need physical healing, maybe it's spiritual healing, maybe it's financial healing, maybe it's emotional healing, the healer is here. The healer is here, and he's here to heal. So if you need a healing touch from the Lord today, would you just get up from your seat, and would you gather around the front of the auditorium here today, in front of the sanctuary? Would you please come? Saints praying. Because you gather over here, come on, come here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, can I just have some men and women of faith stand behind them, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.